I feel good to be out. I feel a bit overwhelmed having about 9 cameras and 8 microphones.
Under what circumstances were you released? What happened?
Essentially, we were able to get the U.S. attorney to meet the demands that we had set forth essentially in November. So we had offered to release the tape in November or inquired as to whether we could turn over the tape and release it at the same time. We had put forth inquiries in November. They had been rebuked and said that they wouldn't accept anything less than our complete follow-through on the subpoena. After the judge ordered us into mediation in March, I believe. No, February. I'm sorry, the dates have gotten a little bit confused. But after the judge ordered us into mediation, things started to open up a little bit, and we were able to publish the video in exchange for them dropping the subpoena and agreeing that they will not say that I was coerced into this should they decide to subpoena me at a later point, should they say that they actually want this testimony, which, of course, being a grand jury, we have no idea
what
that would be.
What made you change your mind to release the tape? Originally, you were steadfast and said you're going to write it out, you weren't going to release anything.
It wasn't a matter of the tape, it was a matter of the testimony. Any indication that I was going to release the tape could have been perceived to damage a future Grumbles motion, and so I had been advised to address the issue that I will not, under any circumstances, testify before the federal grand jury, and I have not, under any circumstances, testified before the grand jury. So I don't think there is any actual change there. It's just that the language that I said was that I would not testify, I would not follow through on the order of the subpoena. So if you carefully parse the language, you'll see that I'm pretty sure I'm not in contradiction with myself, although I can't be 100% certain.
Tell us about your tape, and you know, they've, for months, years, they've wanted to see this, and you're putting it up on the internet for everybody to see.
Right. Well, we started out by asking first Elena James, I believe, the magistrate judge, and then the Honorable William Alsup to act as arbiter, screen the footage in his chambers, and decide whether it had any evidentiary value to it or not. The fact of the matter is that it doesn't. Now the public has an opportunity to make that decision. But the judge refused to take that role, so I handed that role over to the public.
Can you tell us a little bit about your stay and how it may have changed you in any way?
It was interesting. A lot of the perceptions that I had about the prison system and prisoners in general were totally out to lunch. I mean, what I expected to find when I entered FDC Dublin was a virtual war zone, a sort of street combat gang war environment, whereas in actuality everyone got along quite well, and I met a lot of really great people, and it really sort of opened my eyes to the injustices of the so-called justice system and how the inner workings of the Federal Bureau of Prisons actually functions.
What's one of the first things you want to do now that you're out? What are you looking forward to?
Pizza and a beer.
What did you accomplish?
Where pizza?
What beer?
I don't know.
What did you accomplish?
What did I accomplish? Well, there's a number of things that were accomplished by this. For one thing, I was able to maintain my integrity throughout this thing. The tape is worth fighting for, and I was fully prepared to finish out the fight for the tape through the appeals process, and I did. The inquiries began after the appeals process. The real issue is the investigative role of a journalist, in both as a journalist for the public and then being demanded by the courts. And I was able to prevent that from happening. You can see that my content has no investigative effect or impart for the government, and I was able to avoid this questionable situation of being in a non-public environment speaking of a criminal or investigation.
But you can still be brought forth to testify.
I can still be subpoenaed to testify, and I still will not testify.
So you would go back to jail if they subpoenaed you?
Well, first I would go through the process of trying to get the subpoena
quashed. Would you be willing to do that?
I would be willing to go back and continue out however much time I have to spend.
Is this resolved because there is no evidentiary value for the tape, basically? I mean, is that what this has all become, that the magistrate saw the tape and the government was convinced there's no evidentiary value and therefore you're of no use to them?
Well, the government, we came to this agreement prior to the government having any knowledge of exactly what was on the tape. So why the government decided to go along with this agreement, I think, is because the support around my campaign was growing, and with all the various political issues surrounding the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Attorney General, this was probably the best resolution for them, as opposed to continuing this on to possibly January, when the support was growing and the issue was becoming more and more negative in their eye.
When was the deal brokered?
Yesterday, during the magistrate hearing.
Now, when you walked in there, I mean, you couldn't possibly have ever foreseen it would last this long. I mean, you're literally in the history books now.
When I walked in there, I was clean shaven, and I haven't shaved this goatee since. So it's this much time that I've been there. I had anticipated the first 30 days that when I was released on bail, I wouldn't have to go back. I figured even if I lost, the U.S. attorney would say, well, we've decided not to pursue this any further. However, as it turns out, it just continued onward and onward. And I knew that eventually they would have to relent, whether it was through the grand jury expiring, through a successful Grumbles motion, or for them coming out and saying that this investigation is no longer active, which in all likelihood it hasn't been for some time.
How close were we to the grand jury expiring at this point?
Well, the way the grand jury works is it's impaneled for 18 months. It was set to expire sometime in July, but then in all likelihood it could have been extended for 3 months, and then 3 months after that. There's another case which we believe is under the same grand jury with another person who's subpoenaed and being held in there. And I anticipate that because that case is quite central, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, that it will be extended, unfortunately, for Greg Anderson.
Do me a favor. Would you pretend that you're talking to just the average person out there and explain why this is important, what you did?
Why is this important? Well, there's a number of reasons why it's important for journalists not to act as investigators for the government. Either you're an investigative person for the public, or you're an investigator for law enforcement. And if you're an investigator for law enforcement, the public has no reason or they're just not going to trust you. And if the public doesn't trust the press, then the press can't get their stories out. And as a result, in the end, the public suffers.
Was it 224 days?
I've heard several numbers between 223 and 226. I believe my record says today is 224, 225. But once you hit about 200 days, you kind of, it's just another day.
Now, this has brought a lot of attention to alternative media, to bloggers, and the question of, who's really a journalist, what do you think about that? I mean, that now people are really examining, is a blogger a journalist? It seems that people say, yeah, absolutely. Is a freelance journalist a journalist? Is, all those questions.
As I see it, and this question has come up previously, although not with quite the same impact, a journalist's mission is to provide the truth to the public. I came out to the protest in order to document it and provide the truth to the public. That is the role of a journalist. Now, whether I'm motivated by a professional means, by an economic means, or whether I'm motivated simply by the pursuit of the truth is no difference. There are several Supreme Court cases which have cited how the lonely pamphleteer is a journalist as much as the mainstream cosmopolitan newspaper. And so to that end, a blogger is in much the same light as, say, Thomas Paine, who wrote Common Sense and helped publish that, or say, the Federalist Papers, which were anonymously published and helped lead to the formation of our current government.
What's this entire experience been like for you, just overall?
Long, confusing, inspiring, enlightening, rewarding.
What kind of stuff did you do in there? Like, how did you?
Tell us your average day was like.
Let's see. What was my average day like? One of the things. Well, I guess I should just go through the beginning of the day to the end. Would probably be the easiest way to do this. They unlock our doors at around 5:30 in the morning. At that point, they serve breakfast. And we have open pod time, if you will, the rec room's open until 6:30 when they lock it down to clean it. I generally didn't get breakfast, and I'd stay asleep until 7:30 when I would clean up the room, and then half an hour later would be room inspection at 8, clean up the room. I'd listen to some radio in the morning, usually tune into Democracy Now. Then after that, I generally do some reading. Sometimes I'd play dominoes, some cards. socialized with the various guys that were in the institution, and then there'd be rec at least once a day on the weekdays, so we get an hour of time with the fresh air, which I'm just beginning to realize I'm not breathing the horrible recycled air right now. So that was basically the day. Mail would come after count, which comes at 2:45. I'd read my mail, and then at night I'd mostly write in my journal and answer the letters that I was receive.
What about the other inmates? Did they understand your plight? Did you make friends and understand what was going on with them?
Yeah, I made friends with most of the guys there. I'm sure the first time I was released, they announced it on TV, and the whole group started clapping. So I was able to definitely make an impact in some way, shape, or form. I captured a few guys' stories and posted them to my blog while I was in there. Yeah, I'd say that there was a camaraderie. They didn't necessarily understand the issues of the press so much as understand the issues of informants and how most of the guys there were either there because they... Well, most of them were there because someone had informed on them. So while there's a press issue that's different than a co-defendant issue, they certainly understand the concept of not telling.
Will you continue your work now that you're out?
Absolutely. Why would I not?
I don't know. So I just wanted to ask that.
Right.
How will this affect the way you conduct yourself on the street?
I'm not sure how it will affect the way I conduct myself on the street, but I can speak to the way it will affect what my interests in journalism are leaning towards at this point. I'm seeking to do some stories on the Federal Bureau of Prisons and the prison industrial complex as a whole. A lot of issues came to light while I was in there that I don't think everyday people have any knowledge of. And so I think this is an opportunity to kind of shed a light on the prison environment that nobody knows. And combined with that, I started an organization called prisonblogs.net. And what that will facilitate is through outside sponsors, anyone who's incarcerated can send out letters, which will then be posted to their own blog. So we've heard of military blogs. Those are really popular right now. Well, now there's prison blogs at prisonblogs.net, and hopefully we'll have about 10,000 prisoners by the end of 2008. Well, that's a goal. You know, we'll see how we do.
Can you tell us a little bit about just the whole underlying case here, that they wanted to get your videotapes of that protest to get some possible federal prosecution?
They wanted to get my testimony and videotapes.
So they wanted you to guide you through the videotapes and to perhaps implicate somebody or maybe whatever.
Well, one of the most difficult things in dealing with a federal grand jury is that it's a secretive body. They wouldn't tell us what they wanted to know, and we were basically left with a decision of entering into testimony before a secret court where I couldn't verify what I said or did not say, or resisting on the grounds of my 1st, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 14th constitutional amendments, and maybe I missed one there. Basically, we don't know what they wanted. To our knowledge, the most likely thing seemed to be that they wanted to identify civil dissidents, and that what would happen were I to testify is they'd go through the video and go, "Do you know that person? Do you know that person?" as new people showed up on the film. Anyone that I said I knew, they'd probably ask me, how can I contact them? Then those people would be called in, forced to watch the tape, and identify everyone they knew. I'm assuming everyone would also be asked incidental questions, but to me it seemed like a witch hunt akin to McCarthyism, where in this case it was anarchists before it was communists.
And so in resisting this whole thing, they essentially wanted you to sort of jumpstart this investigation, which was pretty much going nowhere. Nobody's been prosecuted in that. And you just would not play ball with them.
Pretty much. And we offered to demonstrate to the judge that there was no evidentiary value to the tape, allowing him to screen it in his chambers, and he refused on several occasions.
But the thing that you wanted to avoid was this witch hunt atmosphere, so that you would be forced under oath to identify, to the extent that you knew who they were, people who were in that videotape, and then of course start the chain that you just mentioned.
Yeah, that was the most egregious assault that was a concern. On the whole, I don't feel it is the role of press to act as investigators for the government.
Now, I've got to ask you this. With all that you've said, with all that you've done, did you do the right thing?
I believe I did the right thing. Do you believe I did the right thing?
Well, it's on you. You're the one who spent the time.
Right. Well, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't think I was doing the right thing, so...
So will you go out and videotape protests in the future?
Absolutely.
So what about people who want to watch it now? I downloaded it there. Why is it important that we can now watch it online? What does it prove, or what is it for?
What does it prove? Well, the public... Many, many claims from the public were that the only reason I could possibly be in jail was because I had captured either the alleged assault or had captured the alleged attempted arson of the police car. I had neither of these things, but the public had created a desire to know, a demand to know what was on the tape. I'm not sure whether I really needed to be answerable to that, but even besides that, the public wanted to know that there was nothing there. There was nothing there. There was nothing to hide. And once I could be assured that my publishing the video would not result in the government saying that I had been coerced into publishing the video, there was no reason not to publish the video, which then led to my release.
And at its core, your objection never was that the video in and of itself becomes public. The objection here was that Josh Wolfe is forced to serve as part of the investigation in attempting to sort of explain, identify, and kickstart their whole investigation. Is that right?
That's almost entirely right. I feel that as a journalist, I should be I should have control over what I choose to publish and what I don't choose to publish, just as you all are going to choose whether to publish all of this interview or a portion of this interview and other incidental material that you gather for your stories. I feel that that is the right of the journalist to exercise. However, when put in such a position, when there isn't anything of value to the unpublished material, there isn't really anything of value to staying in prison waiting for the government to give up.
Another question. Aside from the obvious fight over you're not wanting to testify for the grand jury, do you think that you were wrongly put in prison and you feel that maybe they owe you something for taking your freedom for 225 days?
I feel that I was wrongly put in prison. I'm aware that as the law currently stands, it was not an illegal imprisonment under U.S. law. I don't know about international law or whether there's anything that can be done in the world court or anything like that. I'm disinclined to pursue it. I feel that it was wrong, definitely. There was two parts to your question. I think I'm missing
half the
answer.
Actually, the other thing is I want to ask you is, do you feel that your whole experience that you've gone through legally and in prison, this is a powerful reason that there should be a federal shield law?
Absolutely. That's part of the whole reason that I went through with this, is that there needs to be a balancing test, if not a complete shield as we have in the state of California. If there had been a balancing test, the judge would have been required to view the tape in chambers and see whether there was evidentiary value. Unfortunately, we don't have any firm statement by the judge that there is no evidentiary value, but you, the public, can be the judge and determine whether or not there is any evidentiary value at this point in time, and I think you'll find that there is not.
And so do you intend to campaign to use this to testify, to contact a representative, do anything active to try to push for a federal shield law for journalists?
I do, and I anticipate that I'll probably be in Washington before long trying to meet with Congress people and pushing forward with a robust, comprehensive federal shield law, which protects journalists and other independent, protects bloggers and other independent journalists.